Okay. Morning, everyone. Hope we're all well rested, ready to go. Well, I just had dinner, just went right to bed. That was it. So we're going to another piece from Pinkus. And since Tisha B'Av has ended, we're going to now go to the next step, which is Nechama, which is comfort. Surprisingly, he doesn't have a lot of... It's a big sefer, but I think this is the only shmooze on comfort. So what you're looking at is... It's not the beginning of the shmooze, because the first page is nearly identical to something we've read before, and not germane to the main topic of the shmooze. And therefore, we're going to start on the front page. It's Tzadi Beis on the right side. He's on the top, Tzadi Beis. And the second paragraph with the subtitle, Hatzorech L'Nechama B'Yemos HaGa'ula, the need for comfort in the times of the redemption. And you might notice some of my chicken scratches that I did. I must have gone through this a long time ago, and I must have given a talk on this topic a long time ago. I don't remember when. Okay. So this is a hard schmooze. This is not an easy one. So I'll preface that. And to connect all the dots, it's a little bit, it's a hard concept. Mirtz Hashem will help us, that we'll get it. Yesh li sponein ba'omek hamusag nechama. Let's reflect deeply as to what is the concept of this word nechama. Nechama, we're going to read this Shabbos Daf Torah, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, that my nation should feel comforted. Nachem means to comfort, to feel comfort, to be comforted. So what does that mean exactly? What does it mean to give somebody comfort? How do you get comfort? What gives you comfort? Okay? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kore L'Am Yisrael Nachamu Nachamu Ami Kefal Lashon Shemevi L'Nechama Shlema. In the Haftorah we'll read Nachamu Nachamu, a double expression that brings complete comfort to the Jewish people. Albiyas HaMashiach V'Yemos HaGeula Nemar, when the Mashiach will come and the redemption will come. Joby, there's new sheets behind you. It says in the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Perek Samach Vav, Pasuk Yud Gimel, it says, we have to add a few words in, Ki Ish Asher Imo Tenachameinu, just like for a person whose mother comforts him, Kein Anochi Anamchem, that I added those words, Kein Anochi Anamchem, that's in the Pasuk, so too I will give you comfort. That's an important addition. Ubirshalayim tenuchamu, and in Yerushalayim you will be comforted. So you see that Hashem is going to give us comfort when we build the Beis HaMikdash. V'hainu, shebevin Yerushalayim tiyeh nechama. Hashem says that when we rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem says, I will give you comfort. Uluchura tzorach lahavin harei habechiyah hi'alchur ban Yerushalayim. So let's think about this. We cried yesterday because of the destruction of the temple. Now, so when the holy city of Yerushalayim will be rebuilt, so immediately the reason for the crying will be removed. So, achzu eina nechama, but this is not nechama. This is not comfort. So, you know, let's see how he follows this up. Mashal la'adam sheniftar lo echad mikrovov. Let's give an analogy. Someone whose relative dies. V'nei tzlichu la'akim l'tchiyah. And now they're able to bring the dead person back to life. Haim lezeh tikra nechama. Would you call this nechama? Would you call this a comfort? Call that a comfort? No. Misha nebed lo schum kesef gadol. Let's say you lost a lot of money. Uba adam lenachemo vehichsos haschum. Someone comes to comfort him, and he returns the money to him. So, ein nechama. That's not nechama. That's not a nechama. That's called repairing. It's not comfort. You don't need comfort at that point. There's nothing to be comforted over. Right? Person's back. Person's back. Hamashmos l'nachemi. What is the simple understanding of the word nachem, to give comfort? Sha'al af hachisaren v'hachurman lo mamshichen limchos. What does it mean? That even if there is something missing, and even if there is a destruction, you no longer cry. In other words, comfort is coming to you in a situation where you feel the void. There's something missing. You were crying. Someone comes over to you and says, I can't fill the void for you. But they give you words that make you feel better and you stop crying. That's what comfort is. Right? Or you lessen the crying at least. Comfort doesn't mean we make it all better. Right? So at least, you know, we feel for your pain and you're not alone in your pain, and any other types of things we say to make someone feel better. I went through it also. And you'll see, life will go on. Whatever the standard lines are, depending on the person that you're speaking to. But, you know, comfort means, in spite of the loss, you can stop crying. V'in kein tzorach bir, so now we need an explanation. Shebevias ha-mashiach v'in yushalayim ninucham. So when we talk about the Mashiach coming and Yerushalayim being built, Rebbe Esahi ain't tzorach menachamo. And we were saying, and we're going to be comforted, but at this time we don't need to be comforted. Shakol yachzer l'tikun l'vinyano. Because everything will be repaired, everything will be built. So what is this idea of comfort? Right? What's this idea of receiving comfort after the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt? And we see the prophet saying, Hashem is going, just like a mother comforts, right? I will comfort you when we build Yerushalayim. So why do you need any comfort if everything is fine? One question. Question number two. You have to also understand a concept, which is the concept of, as it were, Hashem crying. Now, see, he doesn't give you the context of it, but there are many chazal that tell us that Hashem cries in his hidden places. In his hidden places. The Navi says Hashem cries in his hidden places. So what's the concept of Hashem crying? Kol pu'ula shel Kadosh Baruch Hu hi nitzchis. Gotta remember, when Hashem does something, it's always an eternal thing. There's no such thing as a temporary thing. It's an eternal concept. V'gam b'chir shel Kadosh Baruch Hu hi lo'ad l'netzach netzachim. So when God cries, it's an eternal crying. So, and when God cried, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, you know, how is that an eternal crying? You know, when the geula comes, you know that should be the removal of the reason for the crying, kashavas aveda, like returning an object. But rather, elainyan mechudash shel nechama, there's a new concept of comfort. So what's this idea? You know, Hashem has an eternal cry. How does Hashem have an eternal cry? You know, and the crying of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is so much different than our crying. You know, I forgot which tzaddik gave the analogy to a king who has a son who's not exactly the most illustrious of children, and he spends a lot of money, wastes a lot of money, leads a loose life. So the king, you know, well, he's king, he's got money to support the son's lifestyle. But he's afraid there's going to be problems after the king dies. So what does the king do? So in the palace, he orders the guards to make a number of treasuries within the home and to put them into the walls to hide them. So the son will not know that there are such treasures. I think dozens of them. So every year when the count is low, just break open one of those hidden treasures and they'll have what to give the son. So they put in, I don't know how many of those hidden treasures. And one day, a fire breaks out and burns the whole palace down. Whoa, and everybody's crying. The people of the country are crying because, the palace went down. I feel bad for the king, Palace is down. It was a beautiful, ornate palace that he let people visit. It was a thing of beauty. It was a thing of art. So people cried about it. And the ministers cried about it. It's a place where they did business. And the son cried about it. So the palace is gone. All the riches in the treasure house that he knew of also burnt down. And the king cried. Now, who cried the most? The king. Because he knew the extent of the damage more than anybody else. Right? Everyone cried on a different level. The son cried because, the money that he kept taking out of the royal treasury was going to be gone. But he didn't know about those hidden treasures. Only the king knew about the hidden treasures. So the king had his own quiet crying. Clandestine crying, because nobody knew why he was crying more than anybody else. So the same thing with our Beis HaMikdash. Our Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so I'm sure it made it into the newspapers in CNN, and they said, one of the seven wonders of the world. It probably was voted in as one of the seven wonders of the world. The miracles that happened there and it's a shame that one of the, natural, historical wonders of the world, Lahavdil, if the Taj Mahal would burn down, it would be a world tragedy, because it's a beautiful place, and to lose that beauty is a terrible thing. And the Beis HaMikdash was a beautiful, beautiful building. So people would cry for that. The artists of the world would cry. And then, of course, Jewish people cried. They didn't have a temple. Couldn't bring their korbanos that they kept sinning for, to just bring korbanos for. The Kohanim cried because they understood a little more. But who really understood? Who really understands the Kedusha, the Beis HaMikdash, the best? It's the Kaddish Baruch. Kaddish Baruch Hu cried. He cried in the hiding places. Because the depths, realizing how terrible the loss was, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could truly fathom what was lost. So we're saying this is Hashem is crying, but of course Mashiach is going to come one day. So the cry, whatever God does is eternal. So where's the eternal crying? So these are the questions. So he goes on, Hanavi Yirmiyahu b'nevuasa al shas ha'geula v'kibutz golios Yisrael oimer. The prophet Yirmiyahu says, in his prophecy at the time of the redemption and the ingathering of the exiles, he says, "Bebechi yavo'u ubetachanunim ovilam." In crying you will come, and in supplications I will bring them. Umavur, what does that seem to say? Sheshiva Sion timitoch bechia. When we all come back to Zion, it will be with crying. So, again, what are we crying for? Anu mergolim lachshov. Now, here's the point he's going to make now. Anu mergolim lachshov shal eis ba Mashiach yushlam kol achorben vechasorin shal orach hagolus vakol yachsul tikuno ve'ein zahemes. He says, we're accustomed to thinking. Okay, think in your mind, what's going to happen when Mashiach comes? And they build a Beis HaMikdash. Right? So he says, 2,000 years we've been waiting for you. We're so happy. We're so happy that you've come. Now everything's all better. The terrible exile is over. The hatred to the Jews is over. We could be close to Hashem once again in ways that we haven't been in so long. And now everything, we live happily ever after, and everything is all good. So he says, Ve'ein zemes, and it's not true. Not true. Why? Kol shenos hagolus. All the years of the Golus, v'churban hakodesh, v'hamikdash, and the destruction of holiness and the Beis Hamikdash, galus hashchina v'atorah, the divine presence going into exile and Torah going into exile. Harei hishpiu al yiridus hadoros, that had such a negative influence on the generations. V'lamatzav haruchoni shel echad v'echad, and on the spiritual situation for each and every Jew. In other words, today, right now, our avodas Hashem is so weak compared to what it could have been if there was a Beis Hamikdash sitting right now and we lived in Eretz Yisrael. Alpaim v'rivavo shel mitzvos liskaimu, tens of thousands of mitzvos have not been performed because there is no Beis Hamikdash. Shasim shleimim lo nilmadu, entire sets of shas, entire talmuds, were not learned. Gedolei olam shiyachol litzmach, great Torah leaders that could have sprouted forth, lo nisalu, never really rise up to the occasion. In other words, there's a lot of lost opportunities that will never be made up. You, all the Jews who fell off the derech, went off the path, like we saw in the movie yesterday. That family, where the children and the grandchildren, there's no Yiddish anymore. That wouldn't have happened if there was a Beis Hamikdash. If there was a Beis Hamikdash, they would have married in the faith, and there would be more Jews. And they'll forever not be Jews from that family. Right? So now the Beis Hamikdash comes. So how did that fix up for the Welbel family? What got fixed up? Nothing got fixed up. It was a tragic ending to a family. And there'll be no more Welbels. Finished. If there was a Beis Hamikdash, wouldn't have had this nonsense. Right? If there was a Beis Hamikdash, you know, all of us who are practicing Torah, we wouldn't be wasting our time with Narishkeit. We'd be learning, spending much more time learning. We would be much more developed within ourselves. We wouldn't be struggling with this Bilvavi Mishkan Evna stuff. You see the Beis Hamikdash. You get a recharge every time you went to Yerushalayim 3 times a year. You get a recharge. You'd see what reality was. You wouldn't be dealing with petty things. So now that all, so every day that passes, every day in which we don't accomplish what we could have accomplished with the Beis Hamikdash, that ain't coming back. That ain't coming back. Yiduim divrei HaChavetz Chaim, the well-known comment of the Chavetz Chaim, Shadaf Gemara Echad Sha'adam Lo Lamad, that one page of Gemara that someone doesn't learn. For whatever reason, let's say he overslept. Whatever. He didn't, he went on a trip, an unexpected trip, and he didn't learn today. A page of Talmud that wasn't learned, Lo Yachzer Lo Olam, never comes back. You can't get the page that got away. I'll learn tomorrow. Yeah, but tomorrow was its own day you had to learn. Every day you're supposed to learn a page of Gemara. You know, and it's, you know, you're going to say, well, tomorrow I'll learn two. Well, then you could have learned two tomorrow, even if you learned one today. Right? And what he's saying is, the hour you would have spent learning a page of Talmud that you wasted, you can't get that hour back. You just can't. Kama Rishonim Karashi Varashba Ho Yecholim Ligdol B'chlal Yisrael Lulei Churban. How many more great, great rabbis like Rashi and the Rashba could have grown amongst the Jewish people had there not been a destruction? Kama gedolin karabi Akiva Eger v'chassam Sofer hivsi klal Yisrael machmas ha-galus. How many great rabbis like Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Chassam Sofer were lost to the Jewish people because of the galus? You had many bright, bright students in the 1800s who were in yeshivas, who would have been great Rosh Yeshivas, who fell to the influence of the Enlightenment and became enlightened Reform Jews and became unbelievable composers and authors and cultured artists, you know, scientific minds, right? Einstein. Einstein couldn't have been a Rav Moshe Feinstein, couldn't have been a Chavetz Chaim if he put his mind to Torah. Can you imagine what he would have been? And he was lost. So many great Jewish minds, you know, Karl Marx could have been, who knows, could have been somebody a lot different. So all these were lost. Even though today we don't sense and feel that loss, because we think everything's fine. You know, but again, like we just can't, we don't know what we're missing, unfortunately. Lassi love in the future, because you have a Mashiach. When the Mashiach comes, Vinakiris, Rum, Malas, Yisrael, and then we'll recognize the real elevated, lofty status of the Jewish people. And they're going to really see what closeness to Hashem is, and what learning Torah is. The native and Nargish has kolach hasarna otzim shalgos. Then retroactively, we will know and we will feel the awesome loss that was during the golos. V'ha'hefsed v'chasarn yishar l'olam, and that loss will remain forever. V'bechinas from the way we describe mu'uvas lo yuchal litikon. The expression is that which has been made crooked that cannot be fixed up. For example, if you have to bring a korban tamid every day and you didn't bring one on Tuesday and the day passed, by the time Wednesday comes, it's finished. Can't fix up Tuesday. Tuesday's forever not atoned for. You can't bring two korban tamids on Wednesday to make up for Tuesday. Some things you mess up. Making a mamzer. Right? Making a mamzer. A woman who is married has a child from another man and you make a mamzer. You can't unmamzerize it. He forever is a mamzer, right? There are certain things you can't fix up. You kill somebody, you can't fix up. So you kill time, you can't fix up. You don't live up to the opportunity, you can't fix up. One second, we'll take it. So it's kimitzias mamish, it's a reality. So when the redemption comes, that's what the prophet Yirmiyahu says, bebechi yavo betachanuni movilam. You will come with crying, and I will bring them with supplications. We will realize that there was thousands of years of irrevocable losses, and we will cry for that. Yeah, Howard.
You can play what if, you know, Adam had not done the sin. What if Moshe had not hit the rock? Everybody has 14 billion choices in their life that they can go this way or that way every day to change the world. So, this is what God wants. This is the territory that the world takes.
All right. It's all coming from that. You're right, but the truth is, there are irrevocable losses that we can't get around. You know, Mashiach's going to come, and we're going to see we squandered our lives.
But is the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash worse than Moshe getting the rock?
So fine. So that's also something that. So there are all things. It's a broader question. It's a broader question, right? You're going to come and say, it's like brother and sister who fight with each other, you know, or even in the movie yesterday. So finally, Mrs. Welble came to terms with her grandchild, and she probably felt like for 6 years, what a stupid thing we could have been with each other for the last 6 years. You can't make it up. Yeah, so there will be a lot of tears for the lost opportunities. Lost opportunities. There's incredible, and this, you know, it goes on many levels here. For a Baal Tshuva, many of them may feel the same way, even after they've returned. He says, "I 40 years of my life I wasted 40 years. Now I'm going to learn. So if I would have known when I was a kid what to do, I would have been so much better." So it's a real feeling. It's a real feeling that people will have. Okay, we're going to deal with it. We're going to deal with it. The answer is a lot more difficult, Howard. So that's why they're going to be crying. They're all going to be saying, "All right, what's with us?" You know. Then they're going to see Moshe Rabbeinu, the Chassam Sofer. They're going to see what a regular balabas was in Europe 100 years ago. You know, all the shoemakers know all the shas, and what do you know? You know, you can say, why couldn't I have done all the shas too? Why did I have to pamper myself? Why did I need 8 hours of sleep? How did the shoemakers do it? How did the shoemakers know all of shas? They didn't have the luxury of 8 hours of sleep. Simple shoemaker knows all of shas, backwards and forwards. What do I know? A couple pages of this, a couple pages of that. It's gonna be a very humbling and sad experience. Yeah, we'll be happy. The suffering's over and this and that, but And then we're going to be told, you know, you really, you know, we're going to know for ourselves. We really didn't accomplish that much. So he's saying, nowadays we don't sense it so much. Oh, I go to a class for an hour. I'm a Veltz Talmud Chacham, I'm a Tzaddik. Compared to all the other people in the world, I'm amazing. But you're going to realize the reality is you're not so amazing. So kishem evinin es oimek ha-churban ve-chesaron. So when we really understand the depths of the churban and the deficiencies, see, only Hashem really knows this. But when Mashiach comes, we're going to have an inkling much more into what Hashem was knowing all along. So understand the great loss. Misoreres Hashela. Now the question is even harder. Kate said, Shaykh, how can there be comfort? How can we be comforted if the feelings of deficiency remain with us eternally? Amnam Yibana Migdash, it's true we will build a Beis HaMikdash. Aval eskol ha-shonim shel ha-churban, but all those years of destruction, l'churi yefshe l'hashim, it appears it's impossible to fix them up. Umayin ha-chama, and what is the comfort? Okay, so now we understand why there's going to be a need for comfort when the Beis HaMikdash comes back. Because the Beis HaMikdash comes back, just bringing back the Beis HaMikdash is not fixing everything up and making it all better. It's not making it all better. It's just, it's cutting our losses. Okay, so now from now on, from the day of Mashiach on, things will be good. Okay. But we've learned enough to know that life isn't just in the present. The present is based on the past. And the past was pretty dismal. Okay, so from now on things will be good. But everything in the past was far from good. So we understand why the Jews will be crying. We understand why God will have to comfort us. But the question now is, so how are we going to feel comfort? So now it's Taka question. So Taka, only Hashem can do this. But we don't have to worry about Hashem. That's not my problem. All right? So it's a big problem. So to understand the depths of what comfort really is, we still haven't really defined comfort yet. So now we have to understand well the liturgy, the text of the commonly used words of comfort that Jewish people use. The coinage, the liturgy of the text of the common nechama is Hamakom Yenachem Eschem. The place should comfort you. In other places, we make reference to the name Makom. Right? We call Hashem Makom. But the most famous line of Makom is this line. Hamakom Yenachem Eschem. Okay, now it's interesting. Umashba would appear shaloshen hamakom hu chelik manachama. It would appear that the wording we use and that the word makom specifically, that is part and parcel of the comfort itself. For example, Einom, we don't say a much more common expression, Hashem yenachem oscha, Hashem should comfort you. O shem Elokim, or Elokim should comfort you. El hamakom, we use the word makom. When we talk people in English, we say Hashem should comfort you. Hashem should give you comfort. We don't say the makom should comfort you. But in that text, we say, Amakom Yenachem Hashem. In the formal standard ritual of the comfort, we say, Amakom. So the Tzarech Lahamikal Avin, we have to go deep and understand, Ma Perish Hamusag Makom. What does it really mean, this concept, Makom? What does it mean to call God the Makom? The place. Umaya Shayach Shal Nacham Lashem Makom. And how do we connect that use of the word makom to the concept of giving comfort? How is it that God is called the makom? That must be intrinsic to understanding how we are supposed to be comforted through this expression. All right, so what have we accomplished in this section? It's already had a lot of information here. So we understand when the Mashiach comes, we're going to need comfort. when the Mashiach comes, because we're going to be crying. So why are we crying? Because we realize the lost opportunities. So now we need comfort. And that seems to be an irrevocable thing that can't be comforted. Now we're beginning to understand why God's crying, because he realizes these are losses that can never be repaired. See, we have this fairy tale attitude. See, this is the problem, this fairy tale attitude. And we always, you know, that everything will be fine. A lot of times people call me up, they just want me to say to them that everything will be fine, and they already feel better. Even though I know everything's not fine. So I have to know when to kind of promise everything will be fine. Even though in my heart I know it's not, but because they'll be broken if I don't say it. And I have to know when to be more honest with people. But everybody wants to say, yeah, so everything's going to be fine, yeah? And then we'll do this, and everything will be fine. Everything will be fine. The person's very sick, but everything will be fine. You know, but eventually they'll be okay, and everything will be fine. You know, my son failed school, but we'll do tutoring, and everything will be fine. Like everything, we'll have some marriage counseling, and everything will be fine. Yeah. So this concept, everything will be fine, isn't so pushed that everything will be fine. Okay, a lot of times, not everything will be fine. And then even if it finally is fine, but at what price? So we have to understand what this means. So now, this was the easy part. Okay, now the next page and a half is really hard. So let's hold cup. But I think we'll get it. Hopefully I'll get it. Shemayim misaprim kvod kel. There's a pasuk in Tehillim. It says the heavens relate, speak out the honor of God. Let me preface with a concept that I was thinking about that I was aroused with on my latest flight. I guess when he's flying to America, whatever. But Pasuk Nemar, the Pasuk says, Hashemayim misaprim kavod kel umase yodov magid harikia. The heavens speak of the honor of God, and that which God made, and the rakia, the firmament, relates to his handiwork. So, b'chol mitzios efshar v'tzarach limtzos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the entire world, whatever you see, it's possible, and we need to find that there is Hashem in this world by looking at the mitzios. For example, kisharim zoyecha v'nod le'tunik. Person merits that his wife gives birth to a child. You're able to see God. Look what God did. Look at this baby that God made. That's pretty easy if you're not an atheist. Huroa guf mushlam. He sees a complete body. Rosh vevar mutukanim. A head, body parts, everything's in order. Chaz de Hashem bimloam. Kindness of Hashem in its complete perfection. Kach gam b'chol dabar b'briya. And so does everything else in creation. B'chai, with living things, with tzomeach, with growing things, plants. You go to the cottage, you see beautiful vistas, beautiful, beautiful, breathtaking views, beautiful waterfalls. So you're able to see, there's Hashem in the world. And for some things, we make brachas. If you go to Niagara Falls, if you haven't been there in a month, you make a special bracha to acknowledge that God made this beautiful thing. There's certain things you make brachas on. You go to the ocean, you make a bracha. Certain things, you know, unbelievable, you know, this is what Hashem does. And you can see a lot of beautiful things. So the world really speaks God. You look at the different animals that were given in innate talents of survival, and you ask yourself, who taught them these survival talents? How is it, you know, that the bees and the ants, they all have a mind how to work in such a way that they continue to live? You know, that would take any one of us years to learn such a skill. And you just, you know, right away, it just is there. So you're amazed, right? So there's what to see in God in this world, right? I feel, of all, luchura hashamayim hemushatim kol mamashas. When you look at the heavens seem to be stripped of any reality. Like, there it is. There it is, the sky. It's blue. Okay, that's very nice. Afilu hatzeva hakochel shebem. Even the blue color that I'm looking at right now, moira al avirik, it just shows me there's empty air. That's it. So the question is, what's the story that the heavens have to tell? King David says, heavens relate God's greatness. It's a bunch of nothing. You know, show me a Venus flytrap. I'll be much more inspired. How it knows to catch things, you know, in an unbelievable, sophisticated way. It's a bunch of sky there. Ubir adavar. So how do we have to explain who? Shemakom, when we talk about the concept of makom, place, space, who adavar sheniva bereishis kol, that was the first thing that was created, was space. Sheikol nimtzayim shrichim sheyakim lemakom bo yiskayim, because all of the created items, they need first a place for them to exist. Hamakom hu chevtze shel bria, and that place is also a creation. Got to remember, before God created the world, there was no such thing as space. There's no such concept of space. We take space for granted, but you have to imagine. You can't imagine a world without space. So where did the space come from? God created the space. And that is what carries everything that's inside of it. Haklalu, the rule is, as it says in Pirkei Avos, although used in a different way, vein, but it's the same thing. Ein l'chadover shein l'makom, there isn't anything that doesn't have its place. That talks about people and what their roles are and things like that. But on a simple level, v'ayinu sh'Hashem yisparach boru mitzius ha'me'af sheres mamit v'kim l'chadover. Hashem created a reality that enables things to exist. And what is that? Zubri is ha'makom, that's the creation of space. Lulei kedimas mitzias hamakom, had it not been prefaced, this reality of space, there'd be no possibility for anything to exist. So that's kind of one of the most obvious things that has to be, it gets lost on us in this process. Habriya hachinim retzes bekach, the most heavy part of creation. What is the greatest expression of God's power in this world is not Niagara Falls. It's the place that God provided for Niagara Falls to exist on. You know the fact that space is there, you know, especially when you're looking from a philosophical point of view, God is everything. If God is everything and God is not mass and he is not space, where does space come from? Where did it come from? God is not physical. Space is physical. This whole idea of tzimtzum, this whole idea of creating space, as it were, you know, we can't understand it. God cut out a space from within his reality. What does that mean? You know, he withheld some of his reality that is infinite to allow some finite space to exist. It's mind-boggling what that could mean. But without that space, couldn't put anything into the space. You know, we have a very small space in this room. Only 600 square feet. How much can we put in this room? You know? So, well, we put in. But without the space, you couldn't put anything in. More space, couldn't put in more. No space, can't put anything. What happens when we get custom rent the place? We're finished. You know, you take for granted space. That's an important thing, though. And that's the greatest expression of God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Noseh Solom Kulov HaMakom Hu Noseh Kol. Hashem carries everything, and that place that he created is what Hashem carries. U'Kishem SheHaKadosh Baruch Hu Nisar. So, like God is so hidden, Kach Makom Shumavateh Eskochosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Olam Nisar Begeder Nisar. The place that expresses God's ultimate power is also so very hidden from us. That's what the pasuk means, that the heavens relate God's honor. Why? Because Adam Shemabid al Shemaim, when a person looks at the heavens, Rabaligvul Shamakom, he sees without any ending Makom space. And in that space, he sees the power of the ability to contain and to give life to an infinite degree. The space that the sky is in is a miraculous thing. The space couldn't be there. That sky couldn't be in another space. And God gave it a heck of a lot of space. For the sky. For the oxygen. To be able to exist. Right? Zamashma, right? Where do I go now? Ulam, Einom Erein Dvorim, Beli Nishma Kolam. But the Buzz says, you know, there is nothing to be said without the hearing of their voice. Zekosh and Nishma and Nikar. This is a power that's not heard, that's not recognized. Ah, Keshemis Bonin, Beot Samasam, Shoshal Makom. But if you really understand what the word Mako means, then Roim Vishamik Fodkel. Then you can see the honor of Hashem. Right? Then you can see the honor of Hashem. If you know what Mako means. Just finish this last paragraph. We finish this section. Kiyom nowadays Yodin Limdos Hachalal Vatmosphere VeGodel Habriya VeAtzuma NikraShemayim. Now we can measure. Now you can sophisticate know how to measure the particles of oxygen. They're not, before people just saw it looks empty. Scientists now know it's filled with oxygen, and oxygen is all kinds of electrons, neutrons. It's all. It's not empty. In each spot of the world, you can create a world with atomic energy. But the source for everything, every little particle of anything, is because God made the space for it. And when God made the space for that, that's the greatest expression of His strength. So now we understand that the word makom, when you refer to God as the makom, means He's the one who provided the space for everything. Without the space, we couldn't even have the theater to live in. It's not just there's a world and God now plays with the world. The whole essence of the reality, of the space, without space you can't have anything, that is from Hashem. And that's the beginning and ending of everything. So we'll continue with this concept tomorrow and see how we'll fit it all on. We'll probably finish this piece by tomorrow, Mirz Hashem.